who saved us and who kept us by his grace and who brought us to that land so proud and fair. We will praise his name forever as we look upon his face. Everybody will be happy over that. Sing it now. Yeah.
Well, good morning. It's a good place to be on a Sunday morning, isn't it? Yes, it is. Well, I have a card here that I didn't get read last week, and I want to get it read today because it's from one of our very own loved one. And Shirley says to say to you, I want to thank everyone for your prayers for me since I fell and broke my arm. It has been a very hard time for me, but I'm doing much better now. I am thankful to be back in church. Now I'm going to read the rest of it. I have really missed being here with my church family. Love you all, Shirley. Shirley, we're glad to see you, honey. You complete this congregation, I can tell you. Everyone in here is a piece of the puzzle. When your piece is not here, there's a vacancy in the puzzle, right? Not saying y'all are a puzzle, but you know what I mean. Well, sometimes you are. It's hard to figure out. Thank you, sir. Okay, if you have filled out that visitor's card, you can drop that in the offering plate, and we're so glad that you're here, and we want you to know that we would love for you to be here all the time. If you don't have a church home, you couldn't beat Liberty Fellowship, so come on and be a part of us, okay? We'd love to have you do that. That would make our day, make our week, make our month, make our year, make our life. Did I cover it all? Thank you. If our ushers would come forward, we'll receive our offering this morning. A time where we all get an opportunity to join in the service. I have a card here. There's another card somewhere. Okay. But I was asked here to put Cindy Estep on our prayer list. She's has some health issues right now, and she would like for the church to pray for her. So if you would, please do that. And we have visiting with us today before Les comes to sing. Missy. Hi, Missy. Missy Hoss Tipton. And she's from right here in Johnson City. And we're glad to have her a part of our congregation today. Brenda was so excited to call me and tell me that she was coming. And when I saw her come through the door, made me feel good for her and Brenda. It should make us happy that when we ask someone to come and be in church with us, that when they show up, it just makes us happy and we just overflow, right? Yeah, that's what a loving congregation does. Don't you greet your family members like that? Maybe. Some of them? Okay. But here at Liberty Fellowship, we're known by the sign out there, this is a friendly place to worship. Now, if that's not so, let's take it off the sign, right? Amen. Okay, Les is going to share a song with us.
Testing. This is God's holy word. It talks about saved and unsaved. As Tom said, saints and ain'ts. Blessing and cursing. And also in this book is the most beautiful love story that you've ever heard or that's ever been told. I'm going to sing about it this morning. I got to have my cheat note because it's a long song. You pray for me. I haven't sung it in a long time. Walking on the road to Jerusalem, time had come to sacrifice again. My two small sons, they walked beside me on the road. Reason that they came was to watch the Lamb. Daddy, Daddy, what will we see there? There's so much that we don't understand. So I told them of Moses and Father Abraham. Then I said, dear children, watch the Lamb. For there will be so many in Jerusalem today. We must be sure that Lamb doesn't run away. So I told them of Moses and Father Abraham. And I said, dear children, watch the Lamb.
Changes.
When we reached the city, I knew something must be wrong. There were no joyful worshipers, no joyful worship songs. I stood there with my children in the midst of angry men. Then I heard the crowd cry out, crucify him! We tried to leave the city, but we could not get away. Forced to play in this drama, a part I did not wish to play. Why upon this day were men condemned to die? Why was I standing here where soon they would pass by? I looked and said, even now they come. The first one begged for mercy. The people gave him none. The second one, he was violent. He was arrogant and loud. And I can still hear his angry voice
screaming at the crowd. And someone said, "There's Jesus." And I scarce believed my eyes. A man so badly beaten, he barely looked alive. Blood poured from his body, from the thorns and was in his brow. Falling down and falling to the ground, I watched him as he struggled. I watched him as he fell. The cross came down upon his back. The crowd began to yell. In that moment, I felt such agony. In that moment, I felt such loss. Till a Roman soldier grabbed my arm and screamed, "You carry his cross." First, I tried to resist. Then his hand reached for his sword. And so I knelt and took the cross from the Lord. Placed it on my shoulder and started down the street. The blood that he'd been pouring was running down my cheek. They led us to Golgotha. They drove nails deep in his feet and hands. And yet upon the cross, I heard him pray, "Father, forgive them. Oh, never have I seen such love in any other's eyes. Into my hand I commend my spirit." He prayed, and then he died. Seeing for what was years, I'd lost all sense of time, until two tiny hands were holding tight to mine. My children stood there weeping. I heard the oldest say, "Father, please forgive us. The lamb ran away." Thank you, Jesus. "Daddy, Daddy, what have we seen here? There's so much we don't understand." So I took them in my arms, and we turned and faced the cross. And I said, "Dear children, watch the Lamb."
That'll quieten your thought processes, won't it? Wow. What a song before this message, and I didn't know what he was singing. He didn't know what I was preaching. For years, I've been doing weddings, And at every wedding, I suppose, that I've ever done, I read the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians. It tells what love is. And that's why the title of the message today, The Greatest of These is Love. Now, we'll have to get into these if we're going to see exactly how great love is. And we'll do that. And I believe that I will read the first three verses. I'm not going to read all the other right now. I'll get that later. But he says, though I speak with tongues of men and of angels and have not love, I am becoming a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not love, it profiteth me nothing. Let's bow our heads for just a moment. Lord, we want to thank you for the spirit of that song. I want to thank you for the greatest love story that was ever told. I want to thank you for the one it was all about. And today, I pray especially for everyone who is sitting in these pews, that when we leave here, we know that we've been in the spirit of love, the spirit of God Almighty, the spirit of His Son, Jesus Christ. And we're going to praise you for what you do, because only you can take what I have had here to present. You can only be the one who makes it what it is, Lord, and I ask you to do it. We praise you for everything you've done and everything you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. When you do something by love, it makes a huge difference in the outcome. It always will. That will never change. Because the greatest of all these that I'm going to be talking about, the greatest is love. I had the opportunity some time ago, don't remember exactly when it was, but it was a movie. Don't normally mention movies, but I had to mention this one to maybe get your attention. When I said that, I noticed some heads came up a little bit, and I could see you better, and you're wondering what movie I'm going to be talking about. Well, as soon as I give you this line, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. I'm not a smart man, but I know what love is. Now, I know y'all know that, right? And y'all know that Forrest Gump was a love story. It was. It may have been funny to you, may have been sad to you, may have been a whole lot of things, but it was a love story. It was how he loved his mama and how he loved Jenny. How he loved Lieutenant Dan, and how he loved Bubba. The people in his life, you can't go back and find one that Forrest didn't love, because he wasn't a smart man, but he knew what love was. That's what he said. It's a story that tells us how we ought to appreciate life that's been given to us, and learn that all those around us, we have this opportunity of life to love them. And if we don't do it, it's on us. And we got to know that this life is going to end. And after it ends, did we? And the did we is too late. If you didn't, you have no other opportunity to love someone. There's not a greater thing you can do. It is so good to be loved, and this is the way I've preached all my life, and I'll continue until the breath leaves my lungs and I can't make a word anymore, is that it's good to be loved. But it's much greater that you can have the possibility of loving someone. So God gives us that special place that I can love every one of you. And you don't have to do anything for me to love you. He gave me that ability through the power of the word. He gave me that ability to love every one of you. Everybody I see and come in contact with, I have an opportunity to love them. I may have different reasons why I do, because love is important in my life. And love is important in your life. There are many ways in which we love. I was speaking to a couple here not long ago. Yeah, about the love languages. I did a little Bible study some years ago. A man, Chapman, came out with the five love languages. And I was mentioning those five love languages. And in case you haven't taken that little Bible course or whatever it is, I'll tell you, it's words of affirmation. That's a language. Words of affirmation, acts of service, gifts, quality time, physical touch. These were all the different ways in which you could express how you love. And you were told to pick out during that time which one suited you. It would have been nice if we could have picked all five and said all five of them suit me, but we were asked to pick one that was ours, you know. And I remember some of them saying that, well, words of affirmation was mine, and some was the physical touch or the quality time. These are all different ways in which you can love. Now, if you think this is just silly that we had a Bible study like this, let me tell you something, try it. Try it, because you see, just the fact that God gave us the ability to love don't mean that we're exercising it. And if you're not exercising it, you're losing out. Anything that you're exercising at, you got to give it thought. It may be a physical exercise. You may say, well, I go to the gym. Okay, go to the gym without giving it any thought. Just go in there, look around, see what everybody's doing. Don't do anything. Don't get on a machine if you're not thinking. Okay, not good. You're going to go in, you're going to give it thought. If there's a machine over here that you can get some leg exercise, you're going to do that. If there's one over here where you can pump them up, you're going to do that. If you want to do this, do that. You're going to give it thought before you do it, right? And if we're going to love those people in our lives, let's give them some thought. Yeah. Think about how you love someone. If you're just sitting around at your house doing nothing, think about the people in your congregation that you know and see every week, and think about how you can show them that you love them. And ask God to help you to increase that love. So the foundation of love is three words found in the Bible, and it's God is love. That's the foundation for it. It's not a secular thought that I'm giving you here about love. That's what normally runs in our minds, is the secular thoughts when we talk about love. It's not it at all. God just gave us the ability to love, and I'll show you why he said it's the greatest of these. God's love is agape. That's God's love. He loved me because I didn't do a thing for him. You love me because I did something, or I am something. You look at me and say, well, I love you because. I could love you because you make good cornbread. I really could. Okay? You make good cornbread and I get some of it. If I don't get any of it, you ain't getting no love. Okay? But you make good cornbread and I get some, I can love you because of that. I can love you because you can sing. Well, I love that boy of mine. That was a great song, wasn't it? And I love the song. I love him. He tells me when he calls me, I love you, Dad. And I say, I love you too, son. That's special to me to be able to do that. And I've got a special card for him, and he don't know it, so don't any of y'all tell him. I've got a special card for him that I'm just waiting for the right time to give it to him because I love that boy. I want to do this. You just hang on. You don't have to turn anywhere, do anything. I'm just going to turn back here and read a little bit about the foundation of love. And here is what it says, but I'll tell you where it is and you can read it later. In 1 John 4, 7 through 11, here's what it says. Beloved, let us love one another. Now he's not just making small talk here, okay? Look at this person next to you and say, I love you. Did that feel weird? Huh? Now, okay, let's do it one more time. Look the other way and tell that person you love them. Okay. Now, I know that was a quick thing and it felt a little odd. You know, you turn around, you're not sure who's beside you and how they feel about that. But it's okay. And that's a good thing about that is you can, Dustin can look at Nick and tell him he loves him. Because one thing he does, one of his best friends, and Nick could do the same thing. But what if it were someone else you didn't know as well as you know them? Could you still do that? You can. You can. God gives you the right to do that and the power to do it. So here's what he says. Beloved, let us love one another, leaving no one out. For love is of God. Not doing this on your own. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not God, he that loveth not, knoweth not God. Let me get the whole thing in. He that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son. And that's that song just really, I tell you, boy, it'll touch you, won't it? If you know what he did. His begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Now, did I tell you why you can look at someone and say, I love you? Because what you're doing is you're doing what he told you to do. Tell people that I love them. And while you're at it, tell them you love them. Because you're doing the same thing I'm doing. I know that's simple, but it's easy to pick up, isn't it? I had somebody tell me last week, I'm picking up what you're putting down. I've heard other people say that, but never expected this person to do it. It was at some place of business or maybe a doctor's office. I go to so many of them now, I don't know. But anyway, she said, I'm picking up what you're putting down. Herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us. And he sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. That's what he did. Now that goes on. You can go back and read the rest of it yourself. But it goes on and on and should, because love goes on and on. For the love you have for others in your life, and you have it, your family. It's so sad to me when I see family that don't love each other. It's such a sad thing, isn't it? But there's an answer for it. But your family, your friends, your brothers and sisters who are supposed to be easy to love, we love them, don't we? We love all relationships that are in our life. If you have this love, if you have this love and you're able to do that, thank God for it. Because you don't have the power to do it. Without him, he's the only one who can love through you everyone that comes into your life. Everything we do for the cause of Christ must be driven and controlled by the love of God. So if you're going to do anything in service here at Liberty Fellowship, do it in the love of God. Just thank him for the fact that you can love not only the people you're doing it for, but the thing you're doing. I hear some of you talking about the things you do and with our kids, and when I hear you talking about it, I hear a love for what you're doing. And I hear a love for those children or those adults that you're doing it for. Whatever we do, let's do it out of love. Now, when I read the scripture, I didn't read the very last verse in that, which says this, "And now abideth faith, hope, and love." And I'm putting love in for charity because that deals with some people's minds. That's what it means. It's faith, hope, and love. These three. But what is the next word? Come on. Come on. Yes, that's exactly right. That changes everything. These are great, but the greatest of these is love. Is that true? It is. It is. How do we know? Well, you can't know until you look at the first two. See, I've been here many times, and I've picked out the love one and never went back to the other two. And I have decided that according to God's word, you can't know how great love is until you know how great faith is and you know how great hope is. You can't do it because love is the greatest. Right? So let's look at it. Well, in Hebrews, if we're going to talk about faith, and we're going to see just what it says about faith. Go over, if you will, this may be a little bit hard for my man in the back because I didn't give him this. But anyway, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, it says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen." So we're not looking at something like this world uses the word faith. The world uses this word faith like it's some kind of mystical religious thing out there that I have some of it. I have it. I have faith. What in the world does that mean? Because it says here that faith is substance and evidence. I mean, it's a real thing. It's not some mystical religious thing that you have. It is, if you have it, it's substance in your life. Now, how are people going to see substance in your life? People are going to see substance in your life by how you live. That's your substance. That's the thing that brings it out. How do you live daily in your everyday life? Because that's where the substance is. I always tell people, I don't mind seeing a good movie, but if I'm going to see a good movie, it needs to have some substance. Yeah, it ought to tell me something. It ought to really tell me something. My dad loved Westerns. He loved to watch a good old Western. And somebody told me not too long ago that they'd like to sleep through a good Western. If it doesn't have content, if your life don't have any content, if you're just going through the motions and you tell people you have faith and there's no substance to your life, you're in the wrong path. You're on the wrong road. You need to recorrect that GPS, make a U-turn, and go back and pick up where you need to pick up. Because he says here that faith is substance of things hoped for and evidence. What's evidence? Can't go to court without evidence. If you do, you're going to lose. And folks, if we go out here in this world saying that we have faith and there's no evidence that we have faith, we lose. And when we lose, the world loses because we don't have anything to tell them. How great is faith? Well, let's just go on and see how great it is. You may have already experienced saving faith, which is wonderful. Now, I guess I just separated what we're going to do here. I'm not talking about saving faith. You say, well, you're saved by grace through faith. And that's usually where we like to use that word because that's a one-time use of it. And we got saved about 15, 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago and we got faith. We were saved by grace through faith. That's not what he's talking about here. This has nothing to do with saving faith. I thank God that you have that saving faith. But what he's talking about here, this substance and this evidence, that's of your everyday life.
Yeah. Amen.
Come on now, get with me. I got to see some bright eyes here. I got to see somebody say, oh, yeah, I see. Never saw that before, but I see what you're talking about now. There's a song we sing, Living by Faith in Jesus Above. Trusting, confiding in his great love. Is that talking about salvation? No, it's not. It's talking about when you get up in the morning and you start the day. We live by faith. We live by trusting him. And if we do, there will be some substance to our life and there will be some evidence that we've been with the Lord.
Yeah.
This is good stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. So through faith, we understand that the Word of God that I'm reading from right now, that the world was framed by this Word. Now, if you don't believe that the moon and the stars and the sun and everything are out there simply because God spoke it, you're not living by faith. You're not. I promise you, you're not. But if you can say that, I understand that by the Word of God. Because, see, it takes faith to understand how that the Word of God can frame the world like it is now. This place is huge, folks. It's bigger than Jonesboro. Right? Amen. Okay. So we know that. Now the instances of faith. Let me give you an idea why I say it's not that saving faith. It is the faith that we live by. Did you anybody say how great is that faith? Isn't that great that we're talking about? Well, listen, here's what he says. I didn't read this part. I'm going to read it now. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Remember the story of Cain and Abel? By which he obtained witness that he was righteous. This is by faith. God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. Now, Enoch. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death. By faith. How'd that happen? I'm telling you, by faith. And that's what we live by every day. When we go out, we believe that what God says is true. And we live that way. It's the substance of our life. It's the evidence of our life. By faith, Noah, being warned of God, as not seen of things not seen as yet. By faith, he did this. He didn't have a clue what God was going to do. But by faith, he saw this. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place. See, these are everyday experiences. One day, Abraham was called on, like we are, to go out and do the things. When God calls on you to go and do something, he said, you go do it, I'll take care of it. You don't have to worry about it. I'll take care of it. I've got all the answers to all your questions. I've got all the solutions to all your problems. All I want you to do is go. When he told Abraham, Abraham said, okay, God, I'm gone. I'm out of here. Didn't know where he was going. Didn't matter where he was going. When you go out tomorrow, you don't have to worry about who you're going to come in contact with. God will put somebody in your path. You don't have to worry about what you're going to do. God will take care of that. Through faith also, let me get a woman in here. God will get a woman in here, right? Through faith also, Sarah herself. Now you tell me that faith is not important. Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed. Faith, and was delivered of a child when she was past age. Well, I can't believe that. You can't? You better. Amen?
Amen?
We better live like we believe it, because it actually happened when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. How great is faith? Amen?
Amen.
Say it's great. Now let's see about hope. We've got to clear that one up too before we can go on. Hope expects. Right? If you hope, you expect. What would life be without expecting? Do you expect bad things to happen all the time? You get up in the morning and say, something bad's going to happen today. My life's going to fall to pieces today. Everything I know that's good is going to turn bad. We like to expect those things, don't we? Isn't it wonderful to get up and expect that? You say, you're crazy, Dan. Yeah, I am. I'm talking crazy. I'm not crazy. I don't get up in the morning that way. I can tell you that right now. I get up in the morning expecting God to do something in my life so that when I get out, like this morning when I left my driveway and headed up the alley. The alley's my way out of my driveway, in case you wonder where I live. When I say alley, I live off an alley. They say, oh, whoa. But I was going up the alley out of my driveway, and this lady who I see all the time was walking, and I will not drive by someone in my community, in my area, and not let them know I just drove by them. I won't do it. And I won't give them a little wave and with no smile or anything. I'm going to roll down the window and say, good morning. It's good to see you. Come on, let's go to church. And she told me that she went to church, and she went on to tell me that her mama's family was a family of preachers, and she went on to tell me they were Pentecostal. She went on to tell me, I said, well, I'm Baptist-costical, and she just laughed at that. We just had a good time there for about 3 or 4 minutes, and I was a little late for the prayer room. But anyway, folks, we gotta show this world that there's some substance to us. That there's some evidence to us. And when we get up and go out, we get up expecting God to do things in our life. So Isaiah put it this way. He said, thou, those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. Those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. It's important for you to know that, because every day when you go out, you got to have that strength. It means that I can trust in God and He won't disappoint me. So when you go out tomorrow hoping, expecting, know that God's not going to disappoint you. Job, anybody in this world had a chance to be disappointed in life and get down on life, it would have been Job. But he said, though he slay me, I will hope in him. You see, hope demonstrates trust and the foundation of faith. How great is hope? Say that. Yes. How great is faith? How great is hope? How great these things are. It's there in all the hard times. Hope is there. When you're going through a hard time, any of you have never been through a hard time, have you? When you're going through a hard time, isn't it good to see the glimmer of hope there? Isn't it good to see that? God gave you that. So let's thank Him for it. It's good. Not just in the easy times, but in the hard times. How great these are. But the greatest of these is love. Now, if you really saw how great faith was, and you really saw how great hope is, how wonderful is it that we have the opportunity to love in this life? John 15:12, he said, this is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Love is the reason that you can experience and show faith in your daily walk. Because God is love. Love is of God. For God so loved the world. We know all those verses of Scripture. You don't even have to prove you're worthy for Him to love you. Is there anybody in you who's had a time in your life when you felt you weren't worthy? Huh? There's a song called Unworthy. And it goes on to say that if you feel unworthy, He can make you worthy. But He made me worthy by His grace and His mercy. He made me worthy. How good is it? You say it's good. Now, well, hang on, because we're getting right there. Because you need to know if already you have it hasn't welled up in you how great love is. But the greatest of these is love. He died for us while we were yet sinners. So you don't have to feel like you have to do anything. You were a no good, low down, rotten sinner, and He loved you. Even if He saw that you hadn't done anything for Him and weren't going to do anything for Him, He still loved you. Now, we draw lines. Us humans do. We'll go so far. Are you with me? But we'll draw a line. Not going any farther than that. They can't show me some respect. I won't show them any respect or any love. I'm going to draw the line. Isn't it amazing that God never drew the line on you? Oh, there's a line at the end of this life. But it doesn't have anything to do with Him loving you. I can assure you of that. Because that's what He is. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Thank you. Yeah. If you think He draws a line along in your life, you're wrong. You're dead wrong. He does not draw the line. The line is drawn at the end. He's not drawing it in your life. He gives us every opportunity to live our life for Him and to live it in love. He died for us while we were yet sinners. Love will cause us to be obedient to His word. Do you love His word? Did I say love? Or do you just like it? I love it, don't you? I can't see a Bible anywhere that I don't just love it, because that's what I do. I love His word. I've been in His word, worn out a bunch of Bibles, worn out a bunch of books called the Bible, but inside these books is life itself. And I'm in love with life. How you like that? I'm in love with life. He gave me the ability to love my life and for me to show that through evidence and substance that I have it by going to other people and showing them that same love. There's different words for love. And some of these are affectionate. Now, that five love languages probably tells you what those are. But there is an affectionate love. There is a friendship love. There is a sexual love. There's all of these different types of love. But all of these loves drive us toward the ultimate love. And the ultimate love, of course, is the love of God. Agape. That's where it will drive us. And if you're being driven that way, hang on, because it's a good ride. Agape. Agape, no reason at all for Him to love you. You didn't give Him any, and He wasn't asking for any. By the way, that type of love will always seek the best in another person. You've been treated wrongly by the people in your life at one point or other, you've got to come to a place where you love them anyway. Because He gave you the right to do it, didn't He? Now, if it's okay, I want to read to you. This is story time. So gather around the bed here and let's cross your legs on the floor and I'll give you the story time. Are you listening? Love suffereth long. Now, are you thinking that it's the greatest? If you aren't, you'll miss these, okay? Because you've read these all of your life, more than likely. But if you're not in this mindset, you'll miss it. Love suffereth long. Love is kind. Love envieth not. Love vaunteth not itself. In other words, it doesn't brag on itself. Love is not puffed up. You're not going to be better than anyone else. I don't care how they look, how they sound, where they live, where you live. Sometimes we want to gauge that by where they live. Let's gauge it by where we live. Where's my life? Where's the substance in my life? Where's the evidence in my life that I love mankind? Love doth not behave itself unseemly. Love seeketh not her own. Love is not easily provoked. love thinketh no evil. You see, while I'm reading these, I'm into me right here, okay? I'm just like you. I'm no different. I'm into me. And some of these have peeped their heads up in my life, and right now I am so sorry that I did not love the way I should have loved. But I want to get better at that, Anthony. I don't want to be easily provoked. I don't want to think any evil. Love rejoiceth not in iniquity. You won't laugh at sin because he didn't laugh. Love rejoiceth in the truth. Love beareth all things. Love believeth all things. Love hopeth all things. And love endureth all things. Why? Because love never fails. That's what he said. He didn't say that about faith. He didn't say that about hope. You say, what do you mean about faith? You mean, oh, James put it this way. He says faith without works is dead. Yeah. You can't find anywhere, anyhow, any way that love ever changes what it is. Because it will never fail you. You can live in a life of love. How great is that? I love my faith. I love living by faith. I love having that hope, that expectation of life being wonderful. I love living there. But I know that if I'm going to live there, I'm going to live there because of the love that God put in my heart for all of mankind. Love never faileth. And he goes on to say, where there's prophecies, they'll fail. Where there's tongues, they'll cease. Where there's knowledge, it'll vanish away. All these things will go away, but not love. Because he gets right back down here to this last word, last verse, and he says, and now abideth. The word abideth means that faith is always going to be there in your available for your life. It is. Hope is going to be there available for your life. They abideth. They're going to abide. These three, but the greatest of all of these is going to be love. Hope that when we leave here today, we leave here knowing that the greatest of these is love. The love of God. How rich and pure. How measureless. Wow. Wonderful, isn't it? Let us pray. Lord, we're thankful for your word. We're thankful for the songs that we were able to sing and the song that we were able to hear that touched our hearts to the very core. And we're thankful for your word that touches us even deeper and shows us that we can leave here today and live a life of love, your love, for all mankind, that we know it'll cause us to go out and show the substance and the evidence that we've been with you. If there's anyone in here today who does not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, Lord, I pray that today will be the day. Help them to make that decision and repent of their sin of unbelief and say, oh God, I want your Son as my Savior, and believe in him today. Fall in love with him. And we're going to thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand, please. While we stand, if there's a decision that needs to be made, this is the time and this is the day. There is no other day. You're not promised tomorrow. This is it.
Love lifted me when nothing else could help. Love lifted me.
That one verse of scripture, or one verse of song, was enough for us to leave here with, knowing where we are in our love life with Him. Song we've sung all of our life. Hope that it had a little bit deeper meaning for you today. And I want to thank you for being here. I want to thank you for showing your appreciation for the Word of God. Because how wonderful is this? How wonderful. This is what changed your life. This is what will change your life. Always. Missy, we are glad you're here, and I hope you'll come back again and again and again so that all this loving family can get to know you. And I'll say to you again,